Welcome to the Friends Fancy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, joined as always on Mondays by a faceless Dave McDonald. Dave, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I figured you might prefer this version of me. So
I absolutely do. And for those who are listening in podcast form later on, right now Dave was able to get his mic to work, but was unable to get his camera to work. So we are all just listening to him as opposed to being forced to look at him, which I feel like is the best way to handle Dave McDonald.
I mean, I think maybe other people might prefer me mute, but, you know, you pick your poison, you know?
I think that's fair. I mean, there are definitely going to be people in the comments, and you can comment live if you are watching. We go live on Monday nights, usually around, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock Eastern, 7 or 8 p.m. Pacific, and tell us how much you would prefer to see Dave but not hear him, or whether you prefer to hear him and not see him.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's get into it, man.
Yeah, we've got a ton to discuss. I'll remind everybody first, you can follow me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Follow Dave on Twitter at RunDMCD. For those of you who've given us 5-star reviews, you know, most notably and recently, Richard Sands and Anthony Gialdi and Jay. Really, really appreciate it. Really helps us out if you can give us a 5-star review on iTunes, especially, but anywhere you're listening to this podcast. Definitely want to remind people of that. But we've got a ton of trades. The trade deadline is tomorrow, and we're already full of trades. I mean, I think we've got a list of like 15 trades that have happened here, most of which have happened today, but some of which have happened previously. I'm going to go kind of just in order of when they happen. So we got to start with Andrew Benintendi to the Yankees. This one was surprising because Andrew Benintendi is not vaccinated, right? He could not travel to Toronto. And I proclaimed loudly on multiple platforms, including Podapalooza and Sleeper in the Bus, and I think here too, that there was no way he was going to end up with an AL East team. And I really didn't think he'd end up with an American League team because, like, what happens if you face Toronto in the playoffs? You can't take Andrew Benintendi to Toronto with you. He reportedly, at first it was reported that he had agreed to get vaccinated as a condition of the trade. And then as soon as he got there, one of the first questions he was asked is, are you going to get vaccinated? He goes, it's something I'll think about, right? Like, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I don't know. What do you think about Benintendi in New York? Aside from the vaccination stuff, I mean, obviously he'll miss that series in Toronto towards the end of the year. But other than that, he should be good to go. Playoffs are, we don't care about playoffs for fantasy.
No, we don't. No, I mean, it's a massive upgrade from Kansas City's park to New York's and the lineup too. And they're, looks like they're hitting him. I mean, the first game, because of New York, they have this giant, like, rotation of players who all sit occasionally. Like, LeMahieu will sit a game, Rizzo will sit a game, Glaber will sit a game, Donaldson will sit a game, Hicks will sit a game, IKF will sit a game, and I'm guessing Benintendi will join that circus too. Like, really, Judge is the only guy who rarely sits, I think, in that one. You know, because of that, he kind of hits all around the lineup. Like, when LeMahieu's out, it looks like he's the leadoff hitter. Like, he hit leadoff the first day there. He's hit first, he's hit third, he's hit fifth, and he's hit sixth twice. So, and he's played every day since coming over. So he's going to be, other than when he's leading off, he's going to be in good RBI positions. He's been running more since he got to New York. I think it's going to help his fantasy value a lot, honestly, because I think you're going to see a motivated Andrew Benintendi and in a much better lineup and much better park, and even sitting a little bit more often than he would in KC, it's not going to make that big of a difference.
Yeah, I completely agree. This was like best case scenario. He was actually before he got traded, like, he was droppable in some formats.
Yeah.
Just because he was not hitting for power, he wasn't running, like, he was giving you empty batting average on a bad team. And like, he's been sitting on my main event, you know, one of my main event teams all year. And I'm like, just do something, dude. So getting out of Kauffman to the AL East and you know, Yankee Stadium. It should be huge for his value.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if someone had dropped him prior to the trade deadline, he's definitely worth just a scoop up in every format. And obviously, in most leagues, he's probably already rostered. Tyler Naquin and Philip Deal were traded to the Mets. Do we care at all?
Yeah, I mean, I really like Naquin in Great American Small Park, but he's, you know, that Cincy lineup was kind of brutal. You know, you had the top four were solid, but then after that, it's just bad. So I think, you know, he's still going to start versus all righties in the Mets lineup. So I think anytime you see a righty in there, he's going to be in there. He's going to hit, looks like, sixth so far. So, I think he's still going to have that value as a power platoon guy that you can plug in when he has three or four games in a half week, or, you know, if you're playing where you've got the full week season changes, then you can play him when he has, like, five or six or seven righties in a week. But if you're looking for power, I think he can still provide that there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be okay. Definitely takes a little bit of a hit leaving Great America Ballpark.
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, especially if the Mets add any other pieces, like, is he then just strictly a bench bat?
Could be.
Right now, like, their outfield is pretty set with Nimmo, Marte, and Canha. And so, like, while he has played, you know, the last two games against righties, like, you do wonder, like, is he going to play every day against right? I don't know for sure. And if they add another piece, he definitely, his role could be, you know, pinch hitter or, you know, the guy who gives other guys days off. I don't know that he's a special enough bat that outside of like the deepest of, you know, leagues that I think he's going to be viable moving forward, especially move to a much bigger ballpark in New York. So, I like Naquin, but I think this is probably pretty damning for him in terms of his fantasy value moving forward. We don't care about the reliever that was traded. This was a trade I completely missed. David Peralta got traded to the Rays?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that. I was camping, so that
makes right, sense. Right. Yeah, so not only did he get traded to the Rays, but then his first game there, which was yesterday, they're facing a lefty, and he's in the lineup. So, like, we haven't seen David Peralta face a lefty in months. I mean, I don't even know if he's – I would have to look at his lineup tracker from before he got traded. But, I mean, you know, the Diamondbacks were strictly using him versus righty. So, I guess the question is, are we going to see full-time David Peralta now? Or is it going to be – well, I mean, I guess are we going to see Rays full-time David Peralta, which is just basically like – playing him like five out of seven games like all the rest of them. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, though, that he got to start versus a lefty. So you got to assume they're going to start him versus all righties, maybe then occasionally some lefties as well. I don't know. But I hate that park, but he's certainly going to a better lineup. Actually, I don't know if he is. when they're healthy, it might be a better lineup. But right now, it's kind of a pile of crap. So, yeah, I don't know. Peralta probably downgraded there.
Yeah, I don't love the park. I mean, he might be, you know, might get the occasional start against a lefty here and there, but I have a feeling like once they finish making their moves, he probably won't get many starts versus lefties moving forward.
Just a shiny new toy thing, like, hey, this is the guy we just traded for. We're going to put him in the lineup, kind of thing.
Yeah, so I would be very surprised if he got a lot of starts versus lefties. I mean, they're a team that just platoons to the utmost max. And you have to assume that, you know, we'll talk about Jose Siri here in a little bit as well. Like, you have to assume that they will make more additions to this team. They may not be major additions, but they'll make more additions here. And so, you know, like right now, Ross Resource has him batting fifth for the Rays and strong side platoon. I doubt he continues to bat fifth, especially if they bring in any more bats. And I do agree that he's probably just a strong side platoon only guy. It has some value in deeper formats, but like I don't think it's anything special. I don't think we're going to see like a resurgence in David Peralta this year. What about the first big trade, I guess, you know, Benintendi was the first big trade, was Luis Castillo getting traded for an absolute haul, leaving Cincinnati, heading to the Mariners. I know there were a lot of people that were like, oh, Cincinnati fleeced the Mariners. I think this was a great trade for both sides. You know, Cincinnati gets to start restocking that farm system. They, you know, in spite of the fact that they probably should have traded Castillo a few years ago, you know, where it was able to, you know, still get a great haul. But Seattle gets a fantastic pitcher that is now going to move from an awful ballpark to a great ballpark in a division with a lot of bottom feeder teams. Yeah. Like, this is like, I don't know that you could have asked for a better landing spot for Castillo outside of maybe going interdivision to St. Louis, which was never going to happen. So, like, I mean, you know, the defense behind him is better. The park's better. The division is fantastic. Like, I love this for Luis Castillo, and I'm bummed I don't have him pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, it's.
And at this point, we have lost Dave. So hopefully he can get back. And I'll just, I guess, have to vamp. So, like I said, we've got Luis Castillo going to the Mariners via trade. You know, he leaves what was one of the worst infield defenses in the league. Leaves a ballpark in Great American Ballpark, which was one of the worst parks to pitch in all of baseball. And now you get to go to Seattle. Seattle has, you know, is much better up the middle defensively, you know, with guys like J.P. Crawford at shortstop, you know, Julio Rodriguez in the outfield once he's back and healthy. And also, you know, the park in Seattle plays much more pitcher-friendly than a place like Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. And then you get, like, these awful, awful teams within the division. You know, you get Oakland, you get the Angels, who've been absolutely awful. You get to go and play in places like Texas. The AL West is a really, really good place to pitch. You know, you look at all these teams, or all these pitchers like on the Astros having great years. Yeah, they're great pitchers, and they're you know, doing great things against you know, non-division opponents. But they also get to face all these really, really bad offenses in the American League West, you know, Seattle being one of them until recently. They've turned it around, but who knows what they are now without Julio Rodriguez in the lineup for a little while, and Ty France has been banged up as well. So I love this move for Seattle. I know that they gave up a lot in terms of Nouvelle Marte, you know, other guys to make this deal happen. But I think sometimes you just got to do that in order to, you know, kind of secure the guy you want. And it is clear that for Seattle, Luis Castillo was the guy that they were looking to get. So now their rotation, you know, shapes up with Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, Robbie Ray, Chris Flexen, George Kirby, and Marco Gonzalez. And now they can run a really, really effective six-man rotation rest of the way, which is, I think, what they would like to do. So, it's, you know, and now they still have other arms within that. You know, I know they traded a lot away in order to get Castillo, but they still have other arms that they can trade, you know, from that farm system. You know, Emerson Hancock is still in the organization. You've got guys like Juan Thén, you know, still in the organization. You know, their prospects definitely took a hit with the trade, but it's not like they're completely barren to go and still make another move. The question becomes, do they have enough to go get a Juan Soto type player? And that, I think, becomes a lot more difficult after this trade. So probably not that they were necessarily super likely to get a Juan Soto, but it seems much more likely that they are not going to end up with Juan Soto. Hoping that Dave shows back up, because I don't like rolling solo, but I will continue to do so for now. The next trade, it was Edmundo Sosa to the Phillies. This one, a little bit surprising to see the Cardinals move a piece like this. You know, kind of a versatile infielder. It allowed them to bring up Paul DeJong, though. DeJong hadn't played particularly great. Like, he wasn't lighting up AAA since getting demoted, but he was showing a lot of power, and he was showing, you know, about a 9% walk rate, a sub, you know, 25% strikeout rate, around 22.6 in the minor leagues. And so I guess you showed enough that they thought, hey, we can move forward with DeJong as our full-time shortstop, get Sosa over to Philadelphia. I don't know that Sosa becomes super interesting. I think he's just going to be kind of a super utility kind of guy to fill in the gaps for Philadelphia. Philadelphia is an interesting team to kind of see what they're going to do. You know, they are they still have a lot of holes. They're going to have Bryce Harper probably missing the majority of the rest of the season. I know Dombrowski likes to make moves and likes to sell off the future for the present, but I just don't know if they consider themselves buyers or not. So far, they've been pretty quiet over the last few days. So, but DeJong is someone that I would be interested in, and I know the people who've listened to me for a while know how much I love Paul DeJong. In deeper formats, I think he's a really interesting guy. He's got 2 home runs in his first 2 games since being recalled. It looks like he is going to man shortstop every day for the Cardinals unless they make a move. But the Cardinals in the past have not been like big movers or shakers. And apparently in talks for Juan Soto, they said they don't want to give up Dylan Carlson and one of their top prospects. Seems silly to me. The question from Anthony Gialdi is in the chat right now. Did Dave go to sleep? Dave was having some issues prior to us hitting record with his camera and microphone. And apparently all of a sudden those issues came back. And I'm currently just trying to run a solo pod, which is not something I enjoy doing or feel particularly comfortable doing. I like having another person to play off of, but we are live. And this is what happens sometimes when you're recording live. You just kind of got to go with it. So Chris Martin, next guy who's traded, was traded to the Dodgers. Chris Martin was the guy Dave and I talked about as a potential David Robertson replacement if Robertson and Mykal Gibbons were traded. And Chris Martin, you know, he's an older guy. And we also mentioned that there was a chance he could be traded as well. He was traded. He's really disappointed in Dave right now. I'm disappointed in him as well. Like I said, I don't love doing that by myself, but I don't know that Chris Martin has very much value. He was kind of a dark horse save spec. At this point, it'll be real interesting. We can talk a little. We'll talk about Scott Efros, who is another save spec, one that I took a couple shots on him in Tout Wars and a few NFBC leagues. He was moved as well. We'll get to that here in a second. Zach McKinstry was part of that Chris Martin deal, traded back to the Cubs. McKinstry becomes a little bit interesting, right? I mean, David Ross, the manager of the Cubs, he's liked some of these guys who can kind of be Swiss Army knives. McKinstry's shown a little bit of something, and now we'll have a ton of, like, you know, potential playing time in Chicago, especially as they continue to move other pieces out of there. You know, if we start seeing other guys in Chicago, some of the, you know, older guys who probably won't be a part of the next good Cubs team move out, McKinstry could become a guy with multi-position eligibility that plays a fair amount. Like, I don't think he's going to be a league winner or anything like that, but especially in your deeper 15-team mix leagues, he could become a lot more interesting. Moving right along, we have Jose Siri, who is traded to the Rays, also traded to the Rays, Garrett Clevenger. These were in 2 separate deals. But, you know, while Garrett Clevenger, I think, is an interesting reliever, and he'll probably, you know, maybe get the occasional save chance because, you know, we know the Rays like to kind of do the, no-name relievers getting saves. The real interesting guy in this is Siri, right? Without Kevin Kiermaier, they don't have kind of an everyday center fielder. Kiermaier's done for the year. They DFA'd Brett Phillips in order to make some of these deals. So he's not there anymore. And it appears that the Rays really like Siri and that they think he can be the everyday guy. He's a pretty decent defender. He's got some power in the bat, but he's got a fair amount of speed. So far this season, in just 147 plate appearances, three home runs, six stolen bases. Problem is, he is not necessarily a good hitter. He's striking out at like a 33% clip. He's hitting 178 so far this year. It's all going to come down to how much contact a guy like Jose Siri can make. Obviously, I think he's at least going to get himself some good playing time moving forward for a little while, as the team prioritizes some up-the-middle defense, which he can provide. And he's fast, so maybe if he can, run a higher BABIP than he's been ready to run, like a 247 BABIP, which seems excruciatingly low for a guy of his speed, maybe he can do just enough offensively from a batting average perspective and on-base percentage perspective to stick in the lineup. But right now, he's running with a 238 on-base percentage. That's not going to fly for very long in Tampa Bay, and you have to see whether or not they're going to make another move, kind of add to this outfield, because right now I don't think this is what they want moving forward if they really want to compete for a playoff spot. We just got a question from Anthony Gialdi. Do you think Esther Ruiz gets called up to Milwaukee and plays everyday season sent to AAA? Hey, perfect. Like, this is the next one on our docket, right? Josh Hader, in like the shocking news of the day, right, gets traded to the Padres, and in return, the Padres get Taylor Rogers, Esra Ruiz, Denilson Lamet, and Robert Gasser. This is a huge trade, and really kind of surprising. Like, the Brewers are at the top of the division. They're trading their elite closer. I think they're looking at it from a short and long-term perspective. While it's obviously a downgrade from Hader to Rogers, is it that big of a downgrade that you can get these other pieces, right? And Esther Ruiz has been a really interesting guy. He's stolen a lot of bases in AAA, did play a little bit in the majors here recently with the Padres. Do I think he's going to be up? I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance he could be up. Especially, if some of the older pieces break down, they want to give these guys rest. The question becomes, like, where does he fit defensively? The Brewers designated Lorenzo Cain for assignment recently. If they have, I think he probably needs an injury in short term, but his ability to play infield and outfield could definitely help him kind of come up. But I think right now, they want him to play every day and kind of get accustomed to the system. So he may not be up here until September unless there's an actual opening via some sort of injury. PJ in the chat saying, first he says, what does it say about Brujan's future in terms of the Jose Siri move? It's clear that Tampa Bay is not loving what Brujan has been able to do. He's hit pretty much at every level of the minor leagues. I don't know that he's got much to prove there, but as much as I've loved Brujan in the past, I think he is a guy that at this point is probably a quad A player. I think he could be more than that, but I think maybe he needs to get out of Tampa. And maybe he's a guy that they move in a deal. Like, they could really use a catcher, right? So maybe Wilson Contreras is on their mind, and they could use Brujan to go get a Wilson Contreras or something like that. And then PJ also mentioned that these guys are decent, but it seems a light return for the guy as great as Hader has been. Yeah, I don't know that it's a light return because, I believe Hader is a free agent, right, at the end of the year. Oh, no, so he'll be ARB eligible this year. He'll be a free agent after 2024. So you get in a year and 2 months of Hader. I think it's a pretty good return. You're getting a major league piece in the bullpen, a major league ready piece in Ruiz. Gasser, who is a really nice prospect in his own right. And then Denilson Lamet, like, I think this is a lottery ticket. I was talking with Paul Tspor, obviously my co-host over at the Sleep in the Bus earlier today. And like I was saying, like I'm still not out on Denelson Lamet as a reliever. I was never in on him as a starter. I just didn't think he had enough pitches. And so like, but like, could he be Hader-esque for the Brewers as a reliever? Or maybe, you know, he kind of does the early career work of like Corbin Burnes when Corbin Burnes was like a 3-4 inning guy and be really, really effective from a real baseball perspective. Now, unless he's a closer or a starter, he doesn't have a lot of fantasy value. And so that kind of hurts him from our perspective. But from a real life perspective, I love kind of getting this piece like Lamet, because if he can just be healthy and be as effective in short spurts, like they can pair him with, you know, a Freddie Peralta who's coming off of an injury, you know, maybe a guy like Corbin Burnes or a guy like Woodruff, who, you know, Woodruff had an injury earlier in the year. Corbin Burnes, you know, maybe they want to kind of limit some of his workload down the stretch, especially if they lock in a, you know, playoff spot. You know, maybe Eric Lauer, you know, who's, you know, kind of been up and down, you know, later in the season. So from real life baseball perspective, I really like this move for both teams. You know, from San Diego's perspective, it's, you know, they clearly stopped trusting Trevor Rogers. Trevor Rogers. Which one is it? Which Rogers am I thinking of right now? Taylor Rogers. While they have a pretty decent bullpen, Hader obviously gives them the shutdown guy in the ninth. The question becomes now in Milwaukee, is Devin Williams the next guy up, right? And I've been seeing all the tweets all day long about how Devin Williams is a top five closer rest of the way. And this is something we talked about prior to the start of the season. We talked about the trade deadline last year, that if Hader got moved and Williams became the guy, he would be a top five closer. The question becomes, is he actually the closer, right? Like, and I don't know that we know that he is. You know, they also do have Rogers there. You know, this could turn into a committee, pretty easily. And while Milwaukee has used Hader pretty exclusively in the ninth this year, like in the past, they've been like, you know, they had no problem using him as a multi-inning guy that still closed out games. But they're, you know, they're a team that embraced the opener, you know, early on when teams like Tampa Bay kind of started rolling out the opener role. Like, I don't know that this is a team that necessarily goes conventional, especially now that they don't have Hader anymore. So while Williams is easily the top pickup of the week in leagues where he wasn't rostered, because the upside is so great as a top tier closer, I don't want to say for sure that he is the guy. I think more needs to be learned and whether or not Williams is going to be the guy moving forward exclusively, or if he's going to be sharing that role with Rogers or other guys. You know, smart teams don't necessarily put their best pitcher in the ninth inning. You know, we've seen this over and over and over again, that some teams who are very smart, you know, put their most effective reliever when it's going to be most effective. And that's sometimes in the ninth inning, and sometimes that is other innings. And PJ's pointing out the fact that they used Devin every time Hader wasn't available this year, six saves. I understand that, but just because they've done it before doesn't mean they'll necessarily. I still think it's likely, right? I think it's most likely that Devin Williams is the closer moving forward. But I also know that teams like the Brewers, who are, you know, who's a smart organization, may make other decisions moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, I'm just going to continue moving forward without Dave, because I don't think he's coming back, or at least it doesn't seem like. I have not gotten any word from him, so I don't know if he maybe lost power or something like that, or what's going on. But the next move is the aforementioned Scott Efros, traded to the Yankees. Efros was a guy that seemed like he would be might be one of the logical choices to be the closer once David Robertson was moved. And now we've seen, and obviously Michael Givens expected to be moved as well at the deadline. And now we've seen both the guys, Chris Martin and Scott Efros, moved prior to those other guys. Efros has arguably been the Cubs' best reliever this year, Really, really good. So I think it was a really nice pickup by the Yankees, but it pretty much crushes any fantasy value he has left, right? Clay Holmes is pretty entrenched in that role. If something were to happen to Clay Holmes, you would think that they'd probably move right back to Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning, considering his experience as a closer. So, and they also picked up Lou Trevino, which we'll get to here next. So I would be very surprised at Efros. If he, had anything more than just middle relief value. Speaking of Lou Trevino and Frankie Montas was finally traded, kind of marking the last two guys of value in the A's on the A's team. And that's not necessarily true. They've got other guys. I mean, Sean Murphy's been kind of linked to some trades, rumors, teams kind of gauging interest on him. The A's will literally be moving anything that's not nailed down at this point as they try to just tank their entire season and entire fan base in order to rationalize a move to Vegas that will be extremely profitable for their ownership group. And the only reason they're only trading things that aren't nailed down, and I made this joke in the write-up, is because they're too cheap to hire a general contractor to get the nails up. So, like, they're just going to trade everything. They did decently in this trade. Like, I don't think it's like there was no major Yankees prospect that got moved, at least, and I'm going to, if Dave was here, we'd be saying this to Dave as well, that or Dave would probably be saying this, there are better people in the industry than me to be talking about the prospects, right? Go reach out to your, Eric Loggenhagens, your Matt Thompsons, and your Eric Crosses of the world, the guys who cover prospects to kind of go get the information. They're, obviously some guys I'm going to know better than others. And I'll do my research as I start writing these guys up for like Fangraphs tonight. But I don't know the prospects well enough to like give really, really solid advice that's better than other people in the industry. So I will kind of divert to them. So, and PJ was reading something from Spore. Thought that it was kind of light. Paul thought it was a good report. I mean, it definitely was light compared to Castillo, and we're talking about the Frankie Montas still, right? So, I think that part of, one, Castillo is, arguably a better pitcher. You can make argument Frankie Montas is a better pitcher, right? But Montas has had an injury this year, right? And Castillo's track record is longer than Montas, right? So I think those reasons alone, you were going to get a better. And honestly, and this is something to really kind of, if you play in Dynasty and Keeper Leagues, is to keep in mind, often the teams that sell first get the best deals, right? Like, the Reds kind of struck first and they got the best deal. I think it's going to be one of the best returns on the market. And like I said, I don't fault the Mariners for paying what they paid for Castillo. But yes, Cashman, the Yankees did not have to give up what Seattle gave up in order to get Castillo. Good for them. But yeah, I mean, obviously Montas moves out of a great park and a much better division to pitch in. But I think he's ultimately going to be fine. I really like Montas as a pitcher. My biggest concern with Montas at this point is injury. He kind of dealt with it. It was, kind of a elbow, forearm, shoulder type thing earlier this year. And you never want to hear those kind of words. So, but as long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a very effective pitcher, even in New York with short porch. I just think that he's too good. And, even if he regresses some in the ratios, that may be made up for the fact that the Yankees are going to win a ton of ball games down the stretch. The A's were not going to win. So his win potential just skyrocketed from probably the worst team in terms of win potential in Major League Baseball to the best team for win potential in Major League Baseball. So that hopefully will offset any of the regression we see in the ratios because of the park change and division change. All right, Luke Weaver. Now we're going to move into some trades that are a little bit more boring. And you guys who are watching in the chat, Feel free to throw questions in if there are things you want me to talk about. But we're going to kind of move through these last few trades. And if you see any other trades that have happened since I've been broadcasting, feel free to Trevino to Trevino, by the way. Oh, that's true, right? We get Lou Trevino to Trevino. And here we go. And look, we have Dave McDonald back just in time.
Okay.
I don't know if you were listening at all, but I've just been going through the rundown. So I'll go back a few so that way you can kind of talk about some of the big ones I've already mentioned.
I left on Castillo. I was just about to comment on Castillo, but I'm sure you covered that pretty well. But, yeah, totally agree. He's going from a park with a park factor of 111 to a park with a park factor of 92, which is the worst offensive park factor in baseball. So this could be massive for Luis Castillo. Like, he could be one of the best aces in baseball over the second half. And he's been really good even in Great American. So,
all right. Then you want to talk about Hader to the Padres and that whole deal?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I didn't think they were going to give up on Taylor Rogers that quickly or give up that much to upgrade to Hader, but I guess they had lost confidence in him. I felt like they gave up a shit ton for him. I don't know. But, you know, we saw what the Indians did with Andrew Miller in 2016, basically carried them through almost through the World Series even. So if you've got an elite reliever like that, it can make a huge difference. And, I mean, granted, they're probably just going to use Hader as a closer, but if they are willing to use him in a multi-inning role in the playoffs, he could be massive there.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, like, do you think, you know, one of the things I talked about was Devin Williams potentially becoming the closer.
Sounds like it.
In
yeah.
Milwaukee. Do you think he is the guy? And, like, because what I said was, yeah, I saw a lot of people talking about how he is a top five closer rest of the way. And while I agree, if he is the guy, that he potentially has that kind of upside, and so if he's available, you need to try to go get him now. I don't know that he's guaranteed to be the guy necessarily moving forward. You know, they did add Taylor Rogers. They are a team that likes to operate very smartly, which doesn't always mean your best pitcher is in the ninth inning. What are your thoughts? How confident are you that that Williams is the closer? And if he is the closer, where would you rank him rest of the way?
From what I read, he's going to be the closer, but I don't know if that was based on anything that the team said. So I don't know if that's just people's speculation or whatever. I doubt that the Brewers would have put that out there already, but I feel like they just feel like they already have that confidence in him that maybe they don't have with Taylor Rogers coming over in the trade right now. I would definitely say Devin Williams is my bet to be the closer there. It's for sure not for certain. And if he blows a couple, that could also change things as well. But yeah, I mean, he has a high walk rate, but I still think he's probably right around that top five mark, considering how few really, really solid closers there are this year.
That's fair. And then I just finished with Frankie Montas and Lou Trevino to the Yankees. So if you want to talk about Montas finally getting out of Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for his fantasy value. Obviously, he's going from a really good park not a very good offensive park, but a good park for a pitcher to a much more volatile park in New York. And he's going to have to face teams like, you know, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. Well, the Red Sox aren't very threatening right now, but once they get
they're
healthy,
still a good offense. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I know they're not elite or anything like that at the moment, but like once their guys get back healthy and
yeah,
like they'll be back to being an elite offense, depending on who they trade here, you know, in the next day or two. I don't know what the Red Sox are doing. We'll talk about some of their moves here in a little bit. Like they seem to be like robbing Peter to pay Paul right now. So I don't honestly know what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, and for Montas, you want to get those wins, you know, and that's what he's going to get in New York. For Trevino, I mean, he's not going to close. I mean, no, I still expect the Yankees to add a guy. And I mean, if a guy like Robertson goes there, he could end up closing over Holmes. They could still use Holmes in a fireman role. So, but Trevino is not going to be the guy that moves Holmes out of the closer role for sure. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know that the Yankees. I don't know if the Yankees are going to make another. They could make another move for Robertson, but they also had Scotty Frost today, who I talked about.
Right.
So, like, that's. I mean, those are some pretty big moves already.
I've heard they might want to add a starting pitcher. I think that might be what they go after next.
Well, I mean, they added Montas. So, like, do you think they're going to maybe another starting pitcher?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. I forgot that they got Montas. Yeah. I was like, I remember they got Benintendi and then they got Alfaro, and I was like, okay, they're waiting on the starting pitcher, but then they got Montas. Yes.
I wonder if they're going to add a catcher. Like, are they the team that goes and gets Wilson Contreras?
I don't know. I hadn't heard anything about Contreras. Well, I guess I had, but I hadn't heard anything recently about Contreras.
I thought Contreras was for sure going to end up in Houston, but apparently not. We'll get to that here in a minute. But before we do that, let's talk about Luke Weaver getting traded to the Royals in exchange for Manuel Rivera. Do we care about either of these guys?
No.
Okay. No. So let's get to the Diamondbacks real quick. Trey Mancini. This was one that I didn't think was going to happen. I just didn't think that the Orioles were going to get enough to kind of rationalize trading a fan favorite and such a good story off their team in a guy like Trey Mancini. Apparently, I was wrong. He goes to the Astros, who I earlier today proclaimed was definitely going to get Josh Bell. They're clearly not going to get Josh Bell now with Mancini in tow. What are your thoughts on Mancini? This is a great park upgrade for him.
It is. I just don't know what the playing time situation is going to be there. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good thing for him because I think of everybody in baseball, Mancini has been the unluckiest player so far in terms of like missed home runs. So I think his home run number should be like 7 or 8 or 9 higher than what it currently is. So hopefully going to Houston will at least fix that. He can play the outfield too. So maybe, you know, because it's hard to see them completely phasing out Yuli Gurriel, but I do think that Mancini's probably the most of the time starter there, and then they'll probably also use him in the outfield some, and DH probably as well, whenever Jordan Alvarez is not playing DH.
Mm-hmm. What about Christian Vasquez to the Astros? This one, like I said, I don't know what the Red Sox are doing because we're going to talk here about their pieces they've just acquired. They trade a guy who is pretty much in tears because they're playing Houston right now. Like, they're starting a series tonight in Houston. They pretty much just say, hey, we got you here, and I go over to the other dugout. And like, when he was being interviewed on the field prior to the game starting, like, you could tell he was visibly upset about finding out that he'd been traded. JD Martinez was like, what the hell? He was in all the team meetings discussing how they were going to approach the batters.
That's a mess.
So like, this is a huge mess. It's a great upgrade for Houston, who's been rolling with Martin Maldonado, and I'm sure what is a double digit WRC plus from the catcher position this year. So you like Vasquez moving to Houston?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it helps Vasquez's value all that much, but Houston gets an offensive upgrade from Martin Maldonado, but I don't know. I don't know that that's really going to make. I don't know, and I don't know the defensive metrics of either, so I don't know how big of a difference it's making defensively. But it's not anything that's like really moving the needle for me. It just kind of makes Martin Maldonado obsolete and kind of changes things around in Boston with, but they also got Reese McGuire there now. So who knows what the split is going to be between him and, is it Plawecki there is the backup?
I think so. So Vasquez, I don't know that Vasquez is like a defensive upgrade over Maldonado. He's definitely a good enough defender where it's not a huge downgrade. And his offensive capabilities are much better than Maldonado. So I think, the hope is that like that Vasquez will adjust quickly to helping the pitching staff. So that way, when he does play, he's not, I think this hurts him from a, you know, playing time perspective. Like, I can't see that he's going to necessarily play quite as much as he was playing in Boston. And so while, like, I don't mind, like, the team switch, right, like moving from Boston to Houston, I think is kind of negligible in terms of their offensive capabilities, in terms of the ballpark. Like, I don't think that's, like, a huge, you know, move one way or another. I do wonder if he's going to get quite as many plate appearances. They like Martin Maldonado. And, like, I know Maldonado is a bad bad offensive player, but he's been good defensively, and he's been with this pitching staff for a really long time. They trust him.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, you know, like, Verlander, is he, like, he doesn't care that Vasquez has, you know, much better offensive capabilities. He wants the guy behind the plate that is been, you know, helping him, you know, in a resurgent year. So, like, I don't know. I don't necessarily understand, or I don't think that Vasquez is automatically going to be, like, a much better fantasy player. I think he's, if anything, it's probably a lateral fantasy move and potentially maybe a slightly negative one.
It's possible.
Next guy on the list. Oh, breaking news. Thanks to PJ in the chat, who is throwing me some of the stuff that's been happening, as I've been on the air, as we've been on the air, though you haven't been on the air as long as me, apparently, as I bullshitted my way through a good 20 minutes without you. Jake Odorizzi to the Braves for Will Smith.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that yet.
I think it just happened. Okay. I mean, this is a really interesting move. I think park-wise, just off the top of my head, I think it's probably fairly neutral. I'm not super worried about this. The question, like, I don't know that it changes the value for either guy. Like, right? Like, Will Smith's not going to close.
Oh, yeah, no. Will Smith, but...
And for Odorizzi, like, does it change the value for him? I don't think it does.
It might not. Yeah, I mean, going from Houston, it's probably a lateral move, honestly.
If anything, it might be negative because there are more bottom feeder teams in the AL West than there are in the NL East.
And let's see. So the Braves have a park factor of 102 and the Astros 98. So it's more of a hitter park.
Okay. But, like, for me, it's more a matter you don't get to face the A's, the Angels offense.
Right.
Rangers offense. Like, so I think it's slightly just a downgrade.
Now you're facing, the Marlins. The Marlins are a wasteland. Yeah.
But the Mets are good. The Phillies offense is good. And what team am I forgetting?
Nationals.
Oh, the Nationals suck. So, right. I mean, you're going from two bottom.
You're going downgrade.
You're going from three bottom feeder teams to two bottom feeder teams. So,
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would say it's probably a slight downgrade.
All right. Let's go to the Red Sox side of things. It's like I said, they traded away Vasquez, but they also added some pieces here. So Tommy Pham to the Red Sox, Reese McGuire to the Red Sox, and then they trade Jake Diekman to the White Sox. So they are trying to walk this tightrope of we're going to get rid of some pieces to try to replenish the farm system and try to get pieces that maybe we don't have to give up as much for. Reese McGuire, a very good defensive catcher, not great in public parking lots, and not great offensively.
I was gonna make a joke, but I'll let it go. He's like the defensive end, and Plawecki's like the offensive end, I guess. But I don't think either of them are really gonna play enough to have any value there.
Yeah, what about Tommy Pham going to the Red Sox? Do you like that?
I haven't really looked into what that will look like, and I don't know like how he really fits in there. I don't know what they're gonna do. I guess Franchi Cordero had been playing some in right field, but I mean this is probably more of a sign that they don't have much faith in Kike Hernandez making it back. Or at least making it back soon / in good health, because he's been out for a long time, and he was the guy that was their everyday center fielder, and now they've kind of moved Duran over there. JD Martinez is pretty firmly planted in at DH.
I wonder if this I wonder if this means they move JD Martinez. Martinez is a free agent at the end of the season. Yeah. You know, last year of his deal, he'd be a really attractive bat for a team, you know, looking to kind of add a middle of the order bat.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, like, I wonder.
Boston and Cleveland are both both teams that are both buyers and sellers right now. Like, they're neither of them is like all in, and but also like they're not selling off either because they could both easily make the playoffs. And you know, once you make the playoffs, you can make a run. What you never know what can happen. So you kind of want to be open. But if it's a seller's market, so if you can get, you know, tremendous value on some of your players that aren't coming back anyways, but still stay in the hunt, then you do it.
Yeah, and I think that's what this is. I think they're just they're moving some of these pieces that aren't part of the long-term plan, and trying to pick up cheaper pieces that they don't have to give up for as much. The next guy or the next trade we got, which happened you know, right before we started recording, Jose Quintana and Chris Stratton traded to the Cardinals. Stratton, I think, just becomes a middle relief arm, you know, kind of guy who can go one or two innings in the middle of that Cardinals bullpen. So super not interesting at all. It does mean Bednar. I don't think Bednar was going to get traded anyways, but I think them trading Stratton just further solidifies Bednar is going to kind of stick there. But Quintana's a guy, you know, you and I kind of talked about prior to hitting record, that's quietly just put up a really, really nice year in Pittsburgh. And now moves to probably the best possible location he could, stays in the division, and gets to move to St. Louis, which is just as good of a pitcher's park, but a much better defense behind him.
Yeah, like some of the best places that pitchers can get traded to are St. Louis and Seattle. So, you know, Luis Castillo going to Seattle and now Quintana going to St. Louis. I think, you know, you're going from you know, Pirates Park is pretty even. It's 101 park factor, but Cardinals is definitely more of a pitcher's park at 95 park factor. So, and like you said, good defense behind him, good lineup. I mean, obviously, a huge lineup upgrade from the Pirates. Like any, you know, you can find high school teams that are upgrades from the Pirates. So, yeah, I love
Pirates. Pirates aren't that bad anymore. They're not as bad as they've been in the past. Like.
You're right. Maybe a D3 college team. Okay, so
They got Brian Reynolds, Brandon Hayes, O'Neill Cruz.
Brian Hayes sucks. Cruz hasn't done anything. I mean, like, you got Reynolds, and that's about it.
How dare you speak ill of my boys? How dare you speak ill of my boys? You're not wrong, though. But
No. But still, yeah. So if you're a Quintana owner, or if you don't own Quintana, he's a solid guy to pick up, I think, for the last couple months here. I'd be pretty pleased to own him.
And then the final trade that just happened here a short while ago, Robbie Grossman traded to the Braves.
Jesus.
So it'll be interesting to see where he kind of fits in, because, I mean, right now their outfield is, you know, Acuna, who's not going to lose playing time, Michael Harris, who might be, like, rookie of the year in the National League at this point.
Or he at least also has. He also hasn't sat. Holy shit! Michael Harris has not sat a single game since coming up.
Yeah, and then Eddie Rosario, and Marcell Ozuna. So, like, I don't know where Robbie Grossman fits in this, other than to maybe give guys days off.
Yeah, I mean, Grossman has just been, you know, for lack of a better word, gross this year, and. I'm seeing that Duvall's on the IL right now. I don't know what's up with him. I haven't really been paying attention.
He's done. Duvall. He's done for the year.
Oh, he's done. Okay.
I'm pretty sure he. I'm going to double check it, but I'm pretty sure he's getting surgery.
I mean, this might just signal that the Braves were looking for a bigger piece and they weren't able to acquire one, so they just picked up Grossman as kind of like a compliment to Ozuna and Rosario. Just to give them, you know, Rosario probably will sit versus most lefties still, and Ozuna will still get time off as well. So
Duvall is done for the year. So, yeah. Okay. He's going to get surgery on his wrist. So, I think this is mostly a depth piece. PJ saying, you know, Grossman is one of the biggest busts of 2022. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I was in on that this year, especially at what I felt was a reduced price. I also jumped off very quickly.
Yeah, I mean,
when it, so
I hate guys with his contact profile. I'm like, I just don't want anything to do with those kind of guys. But I mean, compared to Trevor Rogers or Chris Bryant, he's not that level of frustration of busts. But like you said, he's an easy drop at least. You know, when he doesn't perform, you can just be like, all right, see ya.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Dave, remind everybody where you can be reached. Are you working on anything?
You can reach me at RunDMcD on Twitter. And no, I'm just really focused on all my leagues right now. Like I think like literally every team I have in fantasy baseball can either finish first or out of the money. And that's scary. That's scary to not even have any that are like definitively like crushing. But it's also, I guess, good that I'm not, you know, totally out of any leagues either. So, but that's a huge focus for me right now.
Yeah. The huge focus for me as well. I definitely don't have any leagues in which, I feel like I'm running away with it. That's for damn sure. But I definitely have some leagues I can win. I want to win them to kind of salvage what's been somewhat of a disappointing season for me personally. But yeah, it just, well, in my, you know, one of my main event teams in which I was like really gaining steam, doing well, all of a sudden just completely fell apart. It's such a tough Vegas, man. Like, such a tough league that I'm still in it. I'm in, like, 11th, I think, right now. I have no fear that I'm, like, I'm done in that league at all. I think I can get back in. And Tout Wars is going to be a dogfight to the end. I, you know, am starting to make some moves up. After starting the first 2 months of the season with, like, a 2 WHIP and a 5-plus ERA, I'm starting to gain ground back in those ratio categories. People think that they're, once they get buried in the ratios, they're done. Ratios move a lot easier than people give them credit for. Todd Zola has done some really good research on articles on this in the past. I've actually got like 4 points in WHIP, and I'm about to overtake some people in ERA. So you can work those ratios back, even if you have a rough start to the season. But other than that, you can catch me writing daily over on Fangraphs. My piece tomorrow is going to be all about these trades. And I'm sure my piece on Wednesday will be all about more trades. Do you think that Juan Soto gets traded?
Oh, man. Gut feeling is yes, but it could go either way.
I don't think he does. Okay. I know that like there's been a lot of talk that he's going to be traded. But it does not seem like some teams want to give up what the Nationals are asking for. I don't think he gets traded. I think if he gets traded, I guess he gets traded in the offseason. So any other big moves you see coming?
I think there's going to be a big day tomorrow. I'm waiting for the Cubs relievers to get dealt, you know, Robertson and Givens. Not that that's like anything huge, but just from a fantasy baseball perspective, I care. I'm trying to think of what else I was waiting for. Who else are you waiting on?
The Cubs guys, will Jorge Lopez get traded?
Yeah, that would be huge. I have Bautista everywhere, so I really want that to happen.
I do. I have Jorge Lopez everywhere, so I definitely do not want that to happen. I want to see if some of these other teams that, like, how, like, is Texas going to sell? Like, are Texas going to sell pieces? Like, they seem like a team that's kind of riding this fence. As well, like, how much more will Cincinnati trade away? You know, can they get rid of some of their other pieces as well? Will Christian Walker move? Like, that's one that could be in the Diamondbacks. My boy Seth Beer back in the majors. Maybe that's a sign.
I was waiting for you to bring that up.
My boy. What are my Giants gonna do? Are my Giants buyers or sellers or staying patterns?
They're in the same bucket, I think, as the Red Sox and the Guardians. Mm-hmm. Like, they can kind of go either way or both ways. You know, what about the Twins and the White Sox? Like the NL, the AL Central is wide open. Like, anybody.
I think the Twins will be buyers. I don't know, like, to what level But I don't think you give Correa the kind of contract they give Correa and then not make a move at the deadline. So I'd be very surprised if they don't move. PJ's mentioning Ian Happ, who's been a guy that's rumored to be moved. Yeah, Wilson Contreras, all the Chicago guys,
I don't know if Contreras is going to get moved because, like you said, I think the Astros were the main team going after him. And
he's a free agent. He's got to get moved.
Everybody's been talking about how the price tag has been prohibitive, though. I mean, there's been years where people that there's no reason to hold on to them, but teams still do. Maybe it's to kind of say, hey, we're not going to get bullied. Like we have a price and we're going to stick by it and hope that in the future it helps them. I don't know.
No, I mean, I wonder if the Rays go and get Wilson Contreras. Like I'm trying to think of other, the Padres, maybe if the Padres miss out on Soto.
I mean, the Guardians are a team looking at catchers, although I heard Sean Murphy was more the name that they were looking at. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we have a bigger move than that planned. I've heard that we could move Plesac. I'd be fine with that. I would love to get an outfielder. I mean, I know we're not going to get Juan Soto, but I would love a Brian Reynolds trade for the Guardians.
Maybe the Mariners go get Wilson Contreras.
Maybe.
I mean, Cal Raleigh's been good, but wouldn't you rather have Wilson Contreras the rest of the way?
Sure. I haven't heard anything about that, but it could happen.
I haven't either. I'm completely speculating. No idea.
Blue Jays. What are the Blue Jays doing?
I would assume the Blue Jays go get pitching. I know that they had been rumored to be in on Montas. Noah Syndergaard, still available. He could be a guy that maybe. The Blue Jays originally drafted him, right? He was part of the R.A. Dickey trade to the Mets. So maybe they go back and get a Syndergaard. I don't know. But I would assume starting pitching has got to be what the Blue Jays address. Like, their offense is great. And maybe bullpen.
I mean, Berríos, Gausman, Manoah, Stripling, and Kikuchi looked really good last time back. I don't think it's a massive need for them, but I could see them adding one guy.
Yeah, I think, especially if you can move Kikuchi or Stripling into the bullpen, if they're going to make a move, I think it's starting pitching.
I'd see Kikuchi moving to the bullpen, but.
Kikuchi's been, I know he's better than last started, but it was against Detroit.
Yeah.
True.
There were some legit changes there, though. I'm interested to see Kikuchi's next start because I think he could.
John Morosi apparently is saying that the Jays are close to getting Thor. So there you go, right?
I don't like that at all. Just for the record, I think he's going to get walloped in the AL East.
I wouldn't like that either. Thor is not the guy that he was prior to surgery.
No.
He's not been.
I have no interest in Thor in the AL East, or even Thor right now, period.
Then we have all the Marlins guys, Jesus Aguilar. To get moved. Pablo Lopez.
He got scratched today. So, mm-hmm. Pablo Lopez to the Dodgers was a big
thing. Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, that's what they were talking about today. So, yeah. I don't know. It'll be
the Dodgers have yet to make any major, major moves. And I'm just I would much rather see them get Pablo Lopez and see them get Juan Soto. If Juan Soto ends up in a Dodgers uniform, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. Like, they continuously trade for all my favorite players in baseball. I might actually lose my mind if that happens.
Our friend Matthew Davis, Matty Wood, will be insufferable tomorrow if
the and Vlad Sedler.
Vlad, Matty, I'm definitely not blocking, but I'm muting you guys on Twitter tomorrow if you guys
get absolutely will block you guys. Not muting. I will block you guys. There's absolutely no way I will put up with. Like, I may just shut off my cell phone service. I'm not just talking about turning off my phone. I mean eliminating my service. I don't want to turn my phone back on and have 40 voicemails and text messages from Dodger fuckers. If Juan Soto ends up if that happens, I will lose my mind. I mean
that doesn't sound like an overreaction at all either.
It absolutely is not. It's honestly an underreaction. I feel like I would be entitled to do much, much worse than that. But I'm trying to stay calm and measured. All right.
As always.
I think that on that note, we should wrap it up. For Dave and myself, thank you for listening. And thank you to all of you who were live in the chat with me when I was by myself to help me keep going. Really,
yeah, for those of you
that.
Who don't know, that's like Justin's worst nightmare is being it left absolutely alone is. To talk. Yep. So I apologize for that, buddy. Obviously not in my plans, but I'm sure you crushed it.
I think I did just well enough. So appreciate everybody. Have a fantastic baseball season. Falling